All right, you ready for today's message? That's about time. We got to get right into that now. So the message we've got today is called God Has Done Great Things. How many people would say amen to that?
Amen.
That's what I want to hear. All right, yeah. Because He has done great things, and when we recognize that, it is phenomenally important to know that. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for this time in our service where we can share Your Word and we can share the things that God, I feel like needs to be brought out. It's important for us to be able to have this time to reflect and to hear what God is speaking to us about. Somehow the Holy Spirit has an amazing gift to be able to take some words that are spoken by me, and it filters out all the Mike Galt-isms things and just leaves the true word that's there. And for everyone to be able to hear what's being said, it means what's important to them. And I just appreciate how the Holy Spirit works on that. And I have full trust in the Holy Spirit to be able to allow God's word to really to be true in this message. So we just thank You for that, and we just pray for the hearts of individuals that hear this, that it's just for them, not any individual particular person I'm thinking of, but for some reason it hits their hearts hard. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to begin by reading the book of Psalms. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what we are going to read is chapter 66. So if inside the pews there's a Bible there, if you don't have it, go right to the to Psalms. The way I find Psalms, if you're unfamiliar with the Bible, is just to open up the middle of the book. And it pretty much puts you right there in Psalms. You'll see a bunch of numbers. Just go to 66. It's going to relate to what the message really is here today about, that God has done great things for us. It's not very long. It's only like 600 verses, and we should be able to get through this before lunchtime, I'm hoping. No, it's only 20 verses. Let me read this. Shout for the joy of the... let me start again. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing the praises of Your name. Come and see what God has done, His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. We don't really like to hear that one, do we? We probably weren't expecting that to be in there. But listen to what He says here. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to Your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to You, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to You, and an offering of lambs I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all who fear God. Let me tell You what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would have listened, but God would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. That's an awesome psalm. To be able to be able to say that, and it's like, when we have this title that's up there, that is basically, you know, God has done great things. And I'm thinking that the author of this psalm is just resounding that. I can't imagine what this person has gone through, because it says in there that, you know, God has put him in, you know, basically in a prisons, and people have been over top of them, and yet God has brought them through all of that to a place of abundance. And you know how we get sometimes in those troubles, and we say to God, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. I'm going to start reading the Bible every day. If you get me out of this, Lord, I'm going to do that sort of thing. And you know what God does? Gets him out of it. You know what that person does? Goes about just like they normally were. A lot of cases. That's not true on every case. I can think of one in particular. I don't know if I can use his name, but I don't think he would mind. Charlie Tupper. Anybody know him? Yeah. He was one where God said, you get me out of this, I'll be a Christian. And you know what Charlie did for the rest of his life? He stayed a Christian. And he praised God. And he was able to use his musical skills instead of just singing, you know, country and western, whatever it was that he sang. He went right to Christian songs and shared all of that. There's an individual that stuck to his word. That when he made that vow, he stayed there. And his life was different. And, you know, this marriage was different. And all that sort of thing, that everything around you was different, because now you have God with you and you've got something in which to praise. You know, and it's just pretty cool to be able to see that happen. So what I've got is, I've got some Old Testament, New Testament scriptures here. And we're looking about recognizing that God has done great things. And you can read through scripture all the way from the beginning to the end. And in every bit of that scripture, God is moving in the lives of those people. All right, so I'm going to just bring a few of those out as we can start to look at that. And you're going to see here in Joshua, you know, Joshua is like, he was the leader after Moses that actually brought the people into the promised land. Now, Moses was to be that individual, but because of the people and their unfaithfulness to God, and their inability to really put their full trust in Him, you know, they wandered the desert for 40 years. And even Moses was quite angry with the people at one time and wasn't obedient to God. And so he wasn't able to enter the promised land. Joshua is the one that took them in. Now, when I talk about that promised land, what that really means is that God had promised Abraham way back when that they were going to have this land, what we call the promised land around Cana. And years had gone by, and years, and that never ever happened, until God brought the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, right, out of the burden that we were talking about here, even in Psalm 66. And then brought them to a place of abundance. Joshua brought them to this land that was flowing with milk and honey. And God, through all of their struggles and stuff, went before them, and they were able to take that land as their own. So Joshua is, at this time, very old. He's about ready to pass, and he knows he's about ready to pass his life and die. And he's concerned about the people, and he's concerned about the leaders. So in this chapter 23, he's talking to the leaders. And this is, let me read that, verses 1 through 3. And you can go on, because in verse 24, it really talks about that, you know, if I call it the famous verse in there, where it's like, you know, in this house, you know, I will believe in the Lord. And you know, and so, but this is like talking to the leaders here. He says, after a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all of Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well and advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Why would Joshua tell the leaders this? Joshua doesn't want to want the leaders that are going to be taking over his position to lead all of Israel to forget that God is there for them. Because what is it when we're in those dire straits where, you know, we've got no way out and we've got nothing left to give, we finally call out to God and God rescues us, right? And then when we get out of that predicament, all of a sudden we become relaxed again. Sometimes relaxed with our relationship with God, knowing that He did some phenomenal thing to save us. And we're really like on fire for what He has done. But then over time, that seems to wane. You see this happen an awful lot. 9/11, right? How many people went to church after that? Right? The churches were starting to fill up, and then a short few months afterwards, went down. Right? Even with recent issues, even with COVID and stuff, people were like, God, what are you going to do? So we went to church. And then that has waned into it. It always seems to come and then it seems to go. Joshua does not want the leaders to forget. They themselves experienced some phenomenal movements of God in terms of taking over that promised land. Even some of the real, the ones that were young when the 40 years of the wandering in the desert, right? They saw the manna. They saw the quail that was given to them. Joshua doesn't want these leaders to forget that as they continue to go on in the future with the people that are there. But there's a lot of people that they're going to be leading that never experienced the manna, that never experienced the quail, that never experienced, even as the next generation starts to come through, how God moved those people through the land of Canaan to be able to possess all of that. Those ones aren't going to be able to experience that. Even like in Psalm 66, remember how it talked about that God had parted the waters and made dry ground and people rejoiced. What was that all about? But the parting of the Red Sea. And if you read scripture about that time in Exodus, it's like those people were just were rejoicing. You know, they had celebration after that, watching the Egyptian army just get swallowed up by it. We can look at another situation here in Jeremiah 51:10. It says, "The Lord has vindicated us. Come, let us tell Zion what the Lord our God has done." Well, in this reference here, remember that the Israelites didn't really obey God's command, and God allowed the Babylonians to come in and overtake and literally just destroy the temple. The Israelites that remained alive were taken captive into Babylon. They remained there for 70-some years. And then, at this point here, Babylon was about to be taken over by the Medes. And some of the Israelites were freed of their captivity. And that's what that point is that they're saying right here. They're saying, the Lord has vindicated us. He has set us free from our bondage. He has allowed us to be, back to where we were before. Free to be able to worship Him. Free to be in our own country. Free to be able to have our worship of temple in the temple and to have the sacrifices that we would want. Can you imagine these people going through that vindication? All of a sudden, from the bondage to freedom. That's pretty powerful. And that moves individuals. But what happens to the next generation? Do they have that same excitement that comes from what God has been doing? Because they didn't get to experience it themselves. Let's look at this one here. In Luke chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. We mentioned this not too long ago in Scripture. from one of my previous messages, but it's about the man that was possessed by all those demons, right? Called Legion. This is at the very end of that whole section. And it says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. This is to go with Jesus, right? And be part of his ministry. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much he had done for him. You see, this demon-possessed man had a testimony that needed to be shared. And I'm sure he wanted to share that, but he wanted to be also in that troop of Jesus and the disciples and going around and seeing the ministry that was in there. But God had a different plan for him, because as this demon-possessed man is no longer demon-possessed, my guess, he's pretty hot on fire in terms of who Jesus is. Because he's been freed from the bondage of those demons. And he knows the individual who freed him. And all he really wants to do is to rejoice in that. God says, go back home and tell the people what God has done for you. The great things God has done for you. And we're thinking, yeah, but I want to go with you. No, go over there. Because you don't know what the future brings. We can read on to Scripture, but you know what? It's in that place where this man was that Jesus actually fed the 4,000 people. It was in that place, initially, where the people wanted Jesus to leave. Remember where all the pigs went off into the water and stuff like that? And the people didn't want anything to do with that, with Jesus? Get out of here. But because of what this man was doing, speaking and proclaiming the things that God had done for him, it opened up the hearts of the people to eventually be able to receive what Jesus had later on. That's a powerful thing. But because of one man's testimony, thousands were able to hear the words of Christ. Well, we can think, yeah, that happens in Scripture. I know. Not me, though. What have I got to offer? My name is Mike. Four letters, all right? It's not even some really big name that goes along with it. Who am I that can do anything? And you might be thinking the same thing. You know, I don't have any nobility in me. I don't have any money. I don't really have any education. You know, I don't really have anything. You know, who am I to be able to do anything for God at all? Because if you just look around, you know, God is here, God is there. You can see a lot of people, you know, doing really well. They don't even know God. So, you know, who am I? What am I looking at? So we look at this section over here in this Matthew 5:45, and it talks about, you know, that we, in this area here where we've got to be able to remember to love our enemies, right? And pray for those who persecute us. Because it's easy to hate those that hate us, because that's what the world does. It's easy to love those that love us. That's what the world does. But you know what God does? He allows His blessings to go on not only the good people, those that are God-fearing, but His blessings also go on those that are not God-fearing. He says here, He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Well, who are the good and who are the righteous, but those who recognize who God is and where the rain and the sunshine comes from, right? Comes from God. But even those that don't recognize that, they still get God's blessings. They have an opportunity in which to see God every day and to see the fruit that comes from God. Well, I want to share a little moment with you and give a little bit of praise to God, because to me it's monumental and happened last night. And it all happened because of this thing right here. That's our dryer. How many people have a dryer at home? Ah, there you go. You know, quite a few people have dryers at home. Totally insignificant, right? It's like, okay, so that's a normal appliance that everybody has. All right. Some people may not have one because they hang stuff out. So what? It's not a big deal. I went out and bought a dryer today, you know, put it on Facebook, and everyone's like, oh, great. You know, so happy for you. You know, I understand that sort of thing. You know, it's there. Well, our dryer quit. Didn't work. All of a sudden, it worked, and it said something that just kind of shut down. And Hope is like, are you going to fix that? So anyhow, what I had to do was I had to take the dryer apart. I did look at it. And I want to show you the inside of the dryer. That's what it looked like. It's not that really old of a dryer. We've owned two dryers in our entire marriage life. The first dryer went 30 years, and then we've got this one here ages ago when my mom moved out of her apartment and stuff. And if you look at that picture, you're going to see that there is lint all over the inside. It is not supposed to look like that. And the dryer got so plugged up inside there that it was getting hot. And over on the right-hand side is the heating element, and I pulled lint out of that was already burnt. And I showed Hope that. Guess what we were praising God about last night? That the house didn't burn. And look what I'm sharing right now. That God protected us, you know, and shared that sort of thing. That could have happened, because a lot of times we might run the dryer, you know, we go to bed. Yeah, we have smoke detectors and stuff like that. Or we run the dryer and then we go to church. We run the dryer and we go home. And it's weird how this happened, because in the back there's another vent that goes outside, but one of the vent pipes, it kind of snaps together to make a circle because it's normally just a sheet and stuff like that. Somehow that had broken out, and it's best to have been like that for ages, because you have your little lint thing, you know, that catches all the lint before it even goes outside. But whatever got outside ended up being on the inside here, and it didn't destroy the dryer, but it really needed to be fixed. God saved us last night. And I want to proclaim that is God's work. Saved us from a bad dryer. Put it on Facebook. It's good stuff. You know? And they're going to say, oh, that's awesome. Wow, thank you, God. You know, because, you know, you've been able to do that. And then I look at this next slide here. This is the dryer after I cleaned it. That's what it's supposed to look like.
Wow. You're going to find out, Marcy.
Yeah.
You better line up the weeds here.
Yeah. But I want to show you something here. I'm going to go back to this picture here. This is your life before Christ. This is your life after Christ. And you can understand that you were about ready to be burned up, right? And then God intervenes. God intervened with the Israelites in many different situations. He intervened with that demonic possessed man. His life, I'm sure, was worse than looking than that, right? So that when he comes out of that cemetery cleansed and clean, he really is. It's not just a thing that someone tells him, okay, if you tell me I feel, yeah, I guess I am. No, he was cleaned inside and out. He was made functional again. And he went to his hometown and he shared that. You don't have to have a doctorate to be able to do that. You have to have an experience with God to be able to do that. And communicate, and how powerful that is to be able to have that experience that's there. Loretta, do you want to share?
Does it work now?
Yes, no. It does. It does work, but Hope says it doesn't smell good yet. So I'm going to go through and look at it again. Yeah. Yeah. Things start to work. Yeah. 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 It is working. It was. I'm not sure what it is, but I think there might be some lint inside the.
That's another good point. There still might be some lint in
there. Yeah. Yeah. He's going to keep going through. So Mike's going to go through that one more time. Yeah. Exactly.
How long did that take?
Well, I actually had basically everything apart. The drum and everything had to come out to be able to do it. So, I don't know, a couple hours.
Okay, next week.
Yeah. So, check your dryers, folks. You know, that's the moral of this message is everybody should go back and check their dryer. Wrong. You can do that. But, you know, the idea, the message is that we need a cleaning. And God has given us that cleaning. Right? Because, like I said, this was about ready to burn, just as our bodies and our souls are ready to burn without Christ. And so we have this thing that God has given us now. And so in Psalm 51:7 it says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. The psalmist means this. It's true. That when God enters you, you know it, and you are a different person because of that. The sin that's been in you and eating you up and drawing you down and just causing you to make bad decisions or just your mind focus is always wrong, that is gone, and now you have Christ as your Lord. Which means you live differently. You think differently. And you are now considered, you know, before God as righteous, not because of what you've done, but because now you have the heart of Christ. And if Christ is righteous and Christ is in you, then guess what? You're that reflection that Ron was talking about, that we get to show people what God is like, what the Spirit is like, and the character of that Spirit. Because we are amplifying God through us. Amen? And we see that, and we know that sort of thing. So let's look at here in 1 John 5:11-12. It says, and this is the testimony. This is God's testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Testimony. God says, you either are going to live in heaven with God, or you're not going to live with God in heaven. And that place is hell. There's no in between. And we have an option to be able to do that because we get to be able to hear the testimony. Say those people that were able to hear the testimony of that demonic possessed man that was now cleansed. Right? He heard that testimony, and the people responded to be able to hear the words of Jesus later on. So that when we have God, and we hear the words of God through Scripture, we hear His testimony through His letters to us. We have the opportunity to respond to that. And to know the love that God has for us, the promises that God has for us, the eternalness that God has for us. And boy, I tell you, God has done great things. Because He's touched me, and I know that He has touched you. That's an awesome thing to be able to share. In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Yes, we go through struggles. Yes, we have problems in this world. But God wants you to persevere. Persevere what? Just through those problems? Get through them? Work hard enough, you'll be able to get it? No. He wants you to persevere in your relationship with Him through those troubles. Through those problems. That's what He wants from you. Hold on to that relationship. What's that poem? I'm going to do this. I'm going to slash this sort of thing. But the footstep one where there's, you know, I look back and I see there's only one set of footprints. God, where were you when I was going through this stuff here? The response is, yeah, those are my footprints carrying you. Yeah, those aren't your footprints. And then it's all of a sudden, oh, sorry, Lord. I forgot. And then you're brought to a place again where you really want to thank God. He said, God did get me through those sort of things. The reward, even, you know, that in Psalm 66, it was a place of abundance that you're going to go. Can you think of a place where there's going to be an abundance of good stuff? But heaven alone, right? Yeah, that is the, you know, I guess one of the ultimate rewards that we have. But I've always said this, and I mean it, and I'm going to say it again. What I love about Christianity is not the end of it, because I know that's going to happen. That there's going to be no sin in heaven. There's going to be no weeping. There's going to be no disease or anything like that. But what's important to me is that God is with me now. Right now. And He's always going to be with me. And I'm able to hear Him and be able to listen to Him. And when we do go through struggles, we can rely on Him to pull us through. And I just really appreciate that, and to know that He has promises, so that when we do struggle in this world, we always persevere knowing and having that relationship with Him, and how important that is. Because even Jesus Himself prays for us, right? In John 17, 20 through 21, He says, "My prayer is not for them alone." They're talking about the apostles who are going to be going out and going to be literally eaten up by the world. But listen to this. He says, "I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I'm in You." Jesus is praying for you that when you hear the message, you'll attach to it. And then you yourself will have something to praise that God has done something great. He really has. And you think about this scripture verse here in John 4, 39 through 41. It's about the Samaritan woman who comes to the well. And maybe you know the story, maybe you don't know it well at all. But the woman comes there, Jesus is there. Jesus kind of asks for some water. And she's like, "Well, you're Jewish, I'm Samaritan, you don't talk to me because you hate me." Jesus basically tells her, you know, if you take some of the water from Me, He says, you'll have everlasting water. And He also brings out the fact that she has had five husbands and she's not even living with the husband that she's married to. Can you imagine that particular woman coming before Jesus? What use is there of her, even if she does know God? She's obviously an outcast because she's coming at an off time because she can't come with the rest of the women. She doesn't belong with them because of her choices of living. How much value can she be for God? I'm sure she's thinking nothing. But you know what? Look at what happens here. It says, in these verses here, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. She found out who Jesus was. She went back to her hometown and praised God and started to say things like, "He told me everything I ever did." You know what she's doing? She's going around and talking about the great things that God has done. And because of her, so she went to the Samaritans. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. A woman of disrepute, is that how you say that? Disrespect? Or is
ill
it?
Repute.
What is it?
Ill repute,
thank you. Brought people to Christ. Opened up their hearts that they were willing to be able to at least listen to Jesus, and then Jesus does the rest of the stuff. It wasn't anything that this woman did, it's what she proclaimed that made the difference. And she believed what she proclaimed. God has done great things. He really has. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand, but the point of this message is that He has done great things for you, and you have a testimony that you need to proclaim to those around you. People need to hear your testimony. My testimony, that's nothing. It's not like this person over here or this person over here. No, they need to hear your testimony. You don't know the effects of that and how that's going to move an individual. Did Terry talk to you yet? What am I? Helen? About, you remember how you brought goats that one day? Bringing those goats has actually brought some of the kids to youth on Tuesday. Did you know that that was going to happen? Nobody knows that sort of thing. But that made an impression on the people around us about whatever it was that we were doing, and being out there as a witness for God. That's what brought some of the kids to youth group on Tuesday. Praise God for that sort of thing. How that was not the plan. But God used that in such a positive way. It's really good. We can't understand that sort of thing. Do we need to understand it? No. What we need to do is proclaim God's goodnesses where we go. That's really, really, really important. One last verse that I've got here is in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. It's thought that Solomon, the wisest man on earth here, wrote this book here. At least there was sayings that he said. And it says here that in verses 16 through 17, "When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God had done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it." No, you can't comprehend all of God and all of His ways. What you can do is shout the praises that He has done for you as a testimony to those people around you. Don't get tired of speaking about God. Don't think that they don't want to hear that again. They need to hear it again. And it's your position, really, as a Christian, to go out and to spread the gospel. Now, we spread the gospel by speaking it, but sometimes I think it's more important how we live it that makes a difference. There was a guy that was doing some brickwork on the school ages ago, and I don't even know the guy's name. I just really respected him because, his whole thing, "God willing, I'll be able to finish this up today," and he's given sunshine, and I'm like, "Why are you telling me that? You don't even know that I know God, But he speaks like that all the time. I saw him a couple days, in passing and stuff, and would talk to him. God came out of him like it was just breathing. I appreciated that, because I felt like I needed to share God more, and he showed me a way in how to do that. Never told him that or anything. But it's funny how that makes an impression on an individual. Does he know that? Clueless. Was he praising God? Yeah. Did something happen from that? Yes. The same thing goes for you, and to be able to share your testimony. It is a big deal that God has saved you. He's taken you from the fiery lint of that dirty dryer to that imaginably immaculate clean. Maybe needs a little more cleaning here and there. Individual to be a useful individual for God. You have a testimony. Share it. Amen? Amen? All right. God, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for the message that we have. Take us to that next level, Lord. Move us the way God wants us to move. We will all rejoice. Amen.